Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1, verse 26. James 1, 26. If you have your Bible, would you say amen?
Amen.
Please bring your Bible. We do have extra Bibles in case you need one. We'll be glad to supply you one that you can use while you're here, but we use the King James Bible, and we trust that you bring one, follow us along, and study with us. And speaking of that, appreciate those that's here on Wednesday night, and we're working through some of the principles of life, seeing life from God's point of view. And if you are able to, if you're not working or tied up, please be with us. We're here Wednesdays from 7 until 8, and then we'll let you get out, and especially with school starting back. But please come be a part of that. Appreciate the folks that's coming. We call it a D3 on Wednesday night. We have a doctrine, discussion, and then dessert. And so whatever you care to bring. But we've had a variety of good things brought in. And you come be with us 7 o'clock Wednesday night. James chapter 1, verse 26. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Look there, and the Bible said, if any man, and that means any lady, any woman, any teenager, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. One of the indicators of how spiritual a person you are is how you use your tongue. Your tongue, the Bible says, there is life and death in the power of the tongue. The tongue is a mighty instrument. The Bible, in James, we'll look at this in the next 2 or 3 weeks. But James tells us it is a small member, but it can create such a big problem. Unless we learn how to bridle our tongue. A lot of folks say, well, I just speak whatever comes to mind. Well, that's not being a very mature Christian. Some people fly off the handle. Some people speak words of anger. Some people speak words of contempt and malice and envy and strife. And James is telling us here that these are things that are not spiritual. And so here, let's notice, what is the mark of a spiritual Christian and one that bridles his tongue? While you're in the book of James, look in chapter 2. And verse number 13, this is probably going to be one of the important messages that you will hear. You may never have heard this particular type of message having to do with your tongue. And so many of you have heard many messages on tongues as far as how not to use those. But let me point something out to you. In James 2, verse 13, a very kind of obscure verse, and many times if we were just reading this, we'll read over it and just keep going. Look in verse chapter 2, verse 13. He says, for he that shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Kind of a strange verse when you first read that. Pardon me, I got a little tickle here. But when you first read that, and if you don't really look at the meaning of that, look at the Greek in that, you'll kind of read that over and just and not really pay attention to it. So let me just tell you what the Greek means in this verse. This is how it would translate in the Greek. For the one who has shown no mercy will be judged without mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let me read that to you again. James 2, verse 13. For the one that who has shown no mercy will be judged without mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, I'm sure everybody in here, you understand what mercy is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Everybody in here wants mercy, right?
Amen.
A lot of people say, I want what's coming to me. Oh, no, I don't. I want mercy. I don't want judgment. I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want God to be a merciful God towards me. I don't want what's coming. Because if I got what's coming to me, guess what? I'd end up in hell. So would you. Amen? Amen. Now, with that in mind, and James is telling us here in chapter 1, that a religious man is one that is able to bridle his tongue. One of the most important passages found in the New Testament is in the book of Matthew and chapter 7. So would you turn back there? And our Lord is speaking here. And if you have a red letter, you'll find that all of this, I've got a red letter here and this one here. And just about everything in chapter number 6 and chapter 5 and chapter 7 is in red. And so these are the words of Christ. Chapter 7 in Matthew is a key chapter in understanding our tongue. It is a key chapter in understanding what's happening in today. Gladys and I was having a brief conversation as she was headed out, and our conversation centered around just the way our society views your language today. You could say something and be innocent in saying it, and you could be falsely accused. You could be falsely charged. You could actually be in trouble with the authorities because of your the way in which you say certain things. And in Matthew 7, Jesus is speaking, and a lot of people take this chapter here and they want to try to prove a point with it, and we'll talk about that, but let's just read it, and then we'll digest it a bit. You know the verse. He says in chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Now, a lot of people stop right there without going any further, and they say, "See, Bible said you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge me. You're not, you know." And a lot of people try to take this verse, and they try to condone their sin. They say, "Hey, everybody sins. I just sin differently than you do. And so you shouldn't judge my sin." In fact, they apply that even to a pastor in a church or a pastor in preaching. They say, and we have preachers today that no longer preach on sin because of that. They're afraid that they're offend people, and they're afraid that some people are going to get their feathers ruffled, so to speak. But that is not what Jesus is referring to. Look what he says. "Judge not, that you not be judged." Now watch what he says. "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." This is what Jesus is saying. He is saying the way in which you judge will be the way in which you will be judged. So let's read on down through here. "Judge not, that you not be judged. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet." And now he goes on to say this. And it shall be measured to you again. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" Now, just for clarity's sake, a mote is a speck. It's just a small piece of dirt, a small foreign object in a person's eye. And he says, "Why do you behold the mote is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, the 2x4 that's sticking out of your eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye." What Jesus is referring to here, let me use Brother Chip as an illustration. If I come up to Brother Chip and I say, "Brother Chip, you've got a speck in your eye, and let me pull that speck out of your eye." But in the process of trying to pull the speck out of his eye, I've got this big 2x4 that's banging him up against the head, and I'm doing more damage to him than I am by pulling the speck out. In other words, I have seen a speck in Brother Chip's eye, and I've taken upon the responsibility to try to remove that speck. Now, question first comes is this. How in the world did I see such a small, minute, foreign object in my brother's eye? Huh? I was looking for it. Hello? I was looking for it. And you know something? The closer we get to people, the more specks we see. How many of you, when you got married, you know, you said those I do's and then after maybe a few days, you started realizing this perfect person that I married is not so perfect after all. Amen. I heard of a lovely couple that got married, Brother Chip, and so they went on their honeymoon. And on their honeymoon, they were getting ready to retire for the evening, and so the bride, all of a sudden, she takes off her wig and puts it over on the nightstand. And her husband just kind of looks at her, and then she reaches up and takes her false eyelashes off and puts them over on the nightstand. He's staring. She reaches up and takes out her glass eye and puts it over on the nightstand. She unscrews her wooden leg, puts it over on the nightstand. And she looks at her husband and she says, "What are you looking at?" He said, "I'm just wondering if I should sleep over there on the nightstand or over here. There's more of you over there than it is here." Life is full of surprises. The closer you get to somebody, the more time you spend with somebody, you will find their imperfections. Amen. Some of you only see one on Sundays for just an hour, but guaranteed if I were to go home with you and you were to go home with me and spend a week, you would find some imperfections. The closer you get, you will find those. Let's go back to the passage here. We have a short period of time this morning. And so he says, here this man is trying to pull out the mold, and he's hitting this man upside the head with a beam. And he said, "Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that's in thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote that's in thy brother's eye. Give not which of that is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. Him that seeketh findeth. Him that knocketh it shall be opened." Now, look up here. We hear a lot about today these verses. Some people want to use these verses today as a means to condone a lifestyle or some sinful habit. I've heard people say this: "We all sin," and that we do, right? Right. Right. Bible says if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself, and the truth is not in it. So we all sin, amen? And I've heard people say this: "Well, preacher, we all sin, and you shouldn't judge me for the things in my life since we all sin as well." That's not what he's talking about. He is not talking about a lifestyle. He's not talking about a particular sin in this "judge not, lest you not be judged." Now, these verses do not refer to accepting a lifestyle that is contrary to Scripture, but it refers, listen now, it refers to forming an opinion about a person or a situation and not knowing the details of their motives. You see, one thing that you cannot do correctly, and that is judge somebody of their motives. Why did you come to church this morning? Some people would say, "Well, I know why they came to church. They wanted to come to church to be seen. They came because their boyfriend is there or their girlfriend is there. I know why they came." You don't know why people come. I don't either. That's a motive. You don't know why people do what they do. We can look on the outside and we can pass judgment on the outside. But my friend, what this is talking about, Matthew 7:1, look there. And this is what Jesus is saying in the Greek. He says, to look unfavorably on the character or the actions of others, which leads to pronouncing rash, unjust, and unloving judgments upon them. In other words, what he is referring to is our speech. When we look at others and we form an opinion about what we believe is true, and then we voice that opinion about what we think is true, then we have passed judgment upon that person. We have come up in our mind what their motive is, and we have said something most of the time 99% of the time negatively about that person based on something we don't have any idea about. Amen? Now watch what he's saying. Jesus said, if you judge someone, then you're going to be judged. Look there in verse 1. Judge not, lest you be judged. He says this, with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you, in verse number 2. The way in which you judge somebody else is the way in which you will be judged. Oh, preacher, I've never heard this. The same way in which you pass judgment on someone else is the same way in which judgment will come upon you. Now, I don't know about you. Let me reiterate this. I don't want judgment. I want mercy. Somebody help me out. Amen. I don't want judgment. Anybody in here want judgment? No. Everybody in here want mercy? Yes. Come on, say amen.
Amen.
Now, what is a judgment? Well, if we were to go down to the courthouse, if we go down to the a judge or an attorney, they would tell us legally a judgment is a decision of the court regarding the rights and liabilities of parties in a legal action or proceeding. Judgments provide the court's explanation of why it has chosen to make a particular court order. If I have time sometime, I like to watch Judge Judy. Anybody else like my Judge Judy? I used to like, what was that? People's Court. People's Court, yeah. I used to like him. But have you ever noticed after they have all their spiel, and you got a plaintiff, and you got a defendant, and Judge Judy, she'll go, judgment for the plaintiff. And so they got to pay $2,000 or whatever. Maximum in a small claims court's $5,000. But you got people from all over the world, all over the United States come in there. They, you know, they got some of the craziest stuff they want to get a judgment for. But the decision of the court is this. When she slams the gavel down and she says, judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $2,500. That means that defendant over there has got to pay that plaintiff $2,500. What is a judgment? A judgment is a legal action. It resolves a controversy. When somebody has been hurt, when somebody has been injured, when somebody has been mistreated, a judgment simply is this. It is an attempt to make the offended party whole. Somebody runs into your car. Somebody does damage. Their insurance company won't pay it off. You go to court, and the court says judgment for the defendant in the amount of $5,000. That means that somebody's got to pay that amount of money. It is trying to make you whole. Are y'all with me on this? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a prosecutor. I'm not a judge. But are y'all with me on this? Y'all understand what a judgment is? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A judgment is levied by a court to make an offended party whole again. Now watch this. Everybody in here, get ready to say amen. We all have judged people. But there's a danger. A real danger that you may not be aware of. And here it is in chapter 7, verse 1. Listen to me now. I'm going to let you out in about 10 minutes. I'm not going to finish this. I'm going to lay the groundwork. Here's the danger. The danger is this. When you have said something about somebody else, you have passed judgment on somebody else. What you may not recognize and what you may not realize is this. You have now set God's judgment in place, and His judgment will come to pass. There's a danger. Chapter 7, verse 1. With what measure you will give, it'll come back to you. Some people say, you know, what goes around comes around. And what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 7 is this. The way in which you pass judgment on somebody else, the way in which you say something negative about somebody else is the way in which that is going to come back to you. When you become harsh and critical, then you automatically take your own protection off of your life. And now Satan has a legal right to invade your life and wreak havoc in your life. Did y'all hear me on that? Can I say it again? How many of you are with me this morning? Say amen. I know this is kind of like a calf looking at a new gate. Some of you never heard this before. Now watch this. When you pass judgment on somebody, when you say something harsh, and how many of you would say, let's get ready, everybody get ready, raise your hand, stretch your arms out, get your left. How many of you have ever said something harsh or critical about somebody? Come on, everybody, come on. We all are guilty, aren't we not? We all are guilty. What we may not realize is this, when we have said that, when we have passed judgment, guess what? We have set the ball into motion. We now have got a situation that we may not recognize. That person out yonder that you said that about may never, ever, ever know about what you said. That person out yonder, it may never affect them. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that it's going to affect you. The same judgment that you levied against that person, it's going to come back to home. Come back to you. When you become harsh, critical, and when you do that, you take your own protection off of yourself. By the way, I am thankful today to be guarded and protected by the blood of Jesus. Somebody help me out. I'm thankful today that if I confess my sin, He is faithful and just forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Somebody say amen. Y'all do believe in the blood that cleanses from all sin. We sing about it. You will have people to come to you. You'll have people. Brother Steve, I'm sure in your many years of being a servant of the Lord, you'll have somebody maybe didn't treat you right or treat the singing group right, and somebody will come to you and they'll say, you know, Brother Steve, I just don't think it was right that they did. I don't think that preacher was right. You know, you'll have people that will want to come to you and speak negatively to you about somebody else. If it's negative, listen now, it probably involves judging. If it's negative, if somebody comes to you and say, hey, I don't agree with what they did. I don't agree with, you don't know what the motives were. You don't know their actions behind it. But what you have now done, you have pronounced a judgment against that person. Whew. We tend to judge things we cannot see. We judge motives, we judge actions, we judge attitudes. Now the same way in which we judge others will be the same way in which God judges us. How many of you want God's judgment on your life? No. How many of you want God's mercy on your life? Then you need to pay attention. Because we all just said a few minutes ago, we're all guilty of judging people. Amen? At some point in some time, somewhere, somehow, we all have done it. What we have done, we've set the ball into motion. Now, let me clarify two things and I'm done this morning. First of all, I'm not talking about the judgment seat of Christ. No, 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 no. If you come on Sunday nights, we're going through the book of Revelation. We haven't got to it yet, but we're going to be talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Every last one of us that are saved, every born again, blood washed child of God, you will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You will give an answer. You will be judged for your works that you've done since you have been saved. I didn't say, my friend, your sin. That was judged on Calvary. Somebody help me say amen. Amen. But you will give an account of the works you've done since you have been saved. You'll give an account of everything since you have been saved. God's keeping a record book. I'm not. God is. I believe you'll give an account of your faithfulness. I believe you'll give an account of your giving. I believe you'll give an account of your devotion life, your prayer life. I believe you'll give an account of everything. You'll give an account before God, and all the rest of heaven will be there. They'll see and they'll hear. When you march in and you stand before God, there won't be nobody to hide behind. You will face the judgment seat of Christ. Not going to be a pretty place. But I'm not talking about that. That's not what he's talking about here. Second of all, in Revelation 19, there's a white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book were open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to the things written in the books. and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And as those books were opened at the white throne judgment is for lost people. Will there be degrees of punishment at the white throne judgment? Yes, there will be. Yes, there will be. You say, preacher, will those degrees of punishment be for the ungodly, the murderers and the whoremongers and the child molesters? No, wait, stop. Time out. You know what that will be judged at the white throne judgment? Every lost man, every unsaved man, I'm talking about from the time of Adam, I'm talking about till the time of the white throne judgment, all through the tribulation period, I'm talking about at that moment, all the lost of all the ages will stand before God, the books will be opened, and they will be judged. You know what they're going to be judged on? They're going to be judged on this. How much light did you receive? In other words, you are more responsible now than you were before you came in here. And you know what will happen? Just like every Sunday, there will be people sitting in here and they won't raise a hand one way or the other. Down in your heart, you say, I know I'm not saved. The Holy Ghost of God is trying to get your attention. You realize that you're lost without God, and you play in a game. You come to church. You put on the attire. You talk like a Christian. You even bring a Bible. You even sing. You do all these things, and you say, hey, I'm good. I'm good, preacher. Don't worry about me. And yet, my friend, you'll walk out one of these days. You'll wake up, and you'll wake up in eternity at the white throne judgment of God, and God will look at you, and He'll say, you remember that August morning when you sat in Harmony Baptist Church and that old preacher preached his heart out and he tried his best. You sang about the blood. You sang about Calvary. You sang about the crucifixion. And yet you trampled the blood of Jesus under your feet. You walked out that morning lost without God. Guess what? Your punishment's going to be greater than that man in Africa that has never heard the gospel. Both of them are going to go to hell. You say that man in Africa is going to hell. Yes, certainly he is. You say he's never heard the gospel. It's not his fault. Guess whose fault it is? Ours. If we don't warn the wicked of his wicked way and he die in his iniquity, his blood will be required at thy hand. God gives us all kind of opportunities. Tell him, Brother Keith, this morning I went up last night. I'm done. Get me a biscuit, Bojangles. Sit there at Bojangles. Two people sitting over, it was almost 10 o'clock, they were about ready to close. And two people sitting over there, and they got up and they left. Little girl waited on me, and then she was just short. I mean, she was just, and she come around sweeping the floor. She said, sir, I didn't mean to be rude, it's just been a long day. I said, honey, I understand, no problem. But I could tell, Brother Steve, there's a little something different. And so we got talking. She had on a FFA bracelet. Be observant, looking for things. I said, so you're in the FFA? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I said, do you know Josie Goodson? Oh, yeah. And so this little girl up here, she pipes up. She says, I'm the chaplain. And so we struck up a conversation. And her grandmother was from Korea. And so as we talked, I said this. I said, listen, let me ask you a question. I said, if something were to happen to you tonight, if you were to die, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And she looked at me and said, yeah, I'm saved. Amen. She said, but the rest of my family are not. And so we care, and I invited her to come and down here, and she's not attending anywhere now. But here's the point. I could have sat there last night, Brother Steve, and drank my tea and ate my sausage biscuit and not listened to the Holy Ghost of God. And I could have just clammed up and not said a word. But you know what? If I don't warn the wicked of his wicked way and he die in his iniquity, his blood's going to be on my hand. I don't want the blood of anybody. I've got one man I know of that's in hell today because I didn't talk to him about Jesus. I mean, God prompted me. God wanted me to, and I refused as a young man. And he died unexpectedly. I know I have to stand before God with his blood on my hand. I don't want nobody else. Paul said, I'm free from the blood of all men. I want to wonder about you this morning. I wonder about you. You see, if you walk out of here this morning, you trample under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before God one day, and you're going to give an answer. Why did you trample the blood of Jesus under your feet? Read Hebrews. Hebrews tells you that. Every time you hear a gospel message, every time you have a tract, every time you hear a gospel preacher, every time you hear a radio broadcast, every time you see a gospel preacher on TV, listen, every time you listen to that and ignore that, your punishment will be greater at the white throne judgment. But that's not what he's talking about. No. That's not what he's talking about there in Matthew 7. So if you want to know what he's talking about, you'll have to come back.